Family, did you know that 1 in 4 children in America are growing up without a father? And that children raised in homes without fathers or father figures are more likely to face abuse and neglect, drop out of school, abuse drugs and alcohol, suffer obesity, and even go to prison? Ryan Bomberger is on a mission to fix this. I talk a lot about different topics relative to areas where we have the opportunity to make some impact. And fatherlessness is one of those areas. For sure, I am a person who grew up, who lost his father way too early in life. And sometimes people look at you and they don't understand the story behind what you've been through. Well, guess what? There are millions, I mean, millions of Americans suffering the same thing, households suffering that, which means communities are also being negatively impacted by it. And I've got somebody with me today who is on a mission to help remedy this situation. Ryan Bomberger is an Emmy Award-winning creative professional, columnist, factivist, and author of the powerful book, Not Equal, Civil Rights Gone Wrong. He is also the co-founder and chief creative officer of RadianceFoundation.org, a life-affirming organization based on the belief that every human life has purpose. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here with you.
Oh, thank you so much for taking the time. So let's start here. I'm going to ask you a difficult question, I think, for people who are always in the public sphere. What is one thing that you might be able to share with our audience that even those closest to Ryan do not know?
Oh, wow. So I gotta reveal some stuff.
That's right.
Okay, so the people today don't know that I used to DJ for years.
Is that right?
They wouldn't believe, yeah. it's cheesy. I was a DJ Ry-Ry, but it put me through grad school. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I used to love radio. I was involved in radio as a music director, yes, promo creator, all that kind of stuff. But I love radio.
It couldn't be that cheesy. Put you through grad school. It couldn't have been that cheesy.
No, I meant my name, DJ Ry-Ry. That's what I was saying.
Gotcha. That's awesome, man. So this topic of fatherlessness, I know we're going to dive into some of the data, some of the things you've learned personally being involved in it. But I'd like to understand what led you to getting immersed in this work.
My own dad. Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up in a small family of 15. I have 6 brothers, 6 sisters, 10 of us were adopted. And so I had a father who modeled Christ to our whole family. He loved my mom. So I watched a man who truly loved his wife and served as a role model for a husband, and also loved those that other men abandoned. Mm. I mean, 10 of us, I was the first of 10 adopted, and we're a very mixed family. We're white and black, Native American, Vietnamese, just mixed. So my understanding and my passion for fatherhood came from my own dad, who sacrificed everything for us. Because if you have 13 kids, you do a little sacrificing. Right. Shoot, if you have 1 kid, you do a lot of sacrificing. But that's why I'm so passionate. My parents actually are the reason why I was so inspired to work with young kids from a really early age, actually starting in high school and continued on through college and for years and years thereafter. They're the reason why I have this passion for just loving kids who come from brokenness, because that's pretty much most of the kids in my family. We came from extremely broken backgrounds.
Yeah, no, I get that. I had a guest on a few shows ago who talked about a lot of our purpose and things that we perform well at are birthed out of our pain. And that just stuck with me. I think heretofore, I'd always ask about the why, right? It's the why.
Right.
And I guess interchangeable terms, but the pain, I think, just refines the point that much more. So talk to me about Radiance Foundation and the work you're doing at Radiance Foundation. One of the things I noted was you were named one of the 50 greatest pro-life leaders in the last 50 years in a book entitled Legacy of Life. Tell me about that. How'd that make you feel too, as a part of this journey you're on?
I was surprised. And to be quite honest, there are so many people that could be named in that book. Mm. There's so many people that inspired me who aren't mentioned, who may never show up in any kind of book or any kind of article. But I do appreciate the Florida Family Institute that really was trying to talk about, here are some innovators, here are people who've come before us. I mean, many of them, I'm looking through the book and thinking, man, they've inspired me so much. And so It was a shock. It was a surprise. I didn't know it. My mom, that was weird. My wife had been working with one of our colleagues who actually wrote it, Allison Santafonte. Mm. And so it was just a surprise. But honestly, in the end, you know, we don't need accolades in this life. It's nice to have them, but really it was just an affirmation of I'm living out God's calling in my life. Yeah. My wife and I, through the Radiance Foundation, where we're illuminating that every human life is God-given purpose, whether you're planned, unplanned, able, disabled, red, yellow, black, brown, or white, whatever beautiful hue of skin you have, every human life has God-given purpose. And so it just kind of confirmed in me that just keep going. Mm. Now, despite the hate, death threats, the crazy fatigue, right, it is worth it all to be able to impart to somebody, hey, I don't care what your current, I do care what your current situation is, but I'm saying that it doesn't matter what your current situation is, that God can pull you through, triumph can rise from tragedy. And so that is what I felt like I took away from that little accolade.
That's good. Yeah. And so again, leading a foundation, founding the organization,
right,
chief creative officer, several books to your name, and who knows what else, speaker. When people ask you what it is that you do, what do you say?
I craft messaging that is fearless, factual, and free. Mm. I used to be a creative director in the ad agency world, and I was, you know, tasked with creating stuff, creating marketing campaigns, ad campaigns. So what I really love doing is illuminating that inherent, irrevocable worth we all have. Mm. And the challenge of figuring out, how do I communicate that? How do I design that? Yeah. And so that's really what we try to do as far as Radiance Foundation is, that we try to set it apart by our creative sort of approach. We fuse the educational with the creative, the emotional with the evidential. So I love creating stuff.
That's good. And that's a great segue too with the evidential, because you were labeled as a factivist. Is it, did I get that right? Yes. Fact. I've never heard the term before, but I love it. It's easy to understand.
It's true. Actually, my shirt says less activism, more factivism. And if we had that in our society, we wouldn't have so much of the chaos.
So how'd that term came to be as a part of your moniker and descriptor?
Well, it was really just my years and years of working in all kinds of outreaches, all kinds of urban ministries, and just looking at life in general, hearing the news and not trusting the news, right, because there's a lot of context missing. So my whole approach to this is that context brings clarity. And as a Christian, I want to know the context. I want to be able to think clearly through these things, and that way I can act responsibly and compassionately. And so that's why, as a factivist, I do thousands of hours of research on all these issues, because I want to understand them.
Yeah.
I want to know how to message about them. And you can't do that if you're clueless. And the sad thing is, we've seen the result of acting without the facts. Mm. I mean, emotions don't set us free. Truth does. And so we see some of the dangerous consequences of that. We've seen that in the last few years with some of the rioting and understanding. There's a perception of injustice, but we still have the responsibility of, one, acting righteously.
Right.
And you can, there can be righteous anger. There's nothing wrong with righteous anger,
right,
but we have to act with the facts. And so that's why I'm really passionate about factivism.
That's over so good. Activism. That's so good. And slight departure from the topic, just to stick on factivism for a second and go deeper. I think it's incredibly important in the political season that we're in, as we march towards another election, to be factivists. I'm going to start using your word. And we did this 4 years ago, and we walked through making sure our audience gets vested in understanding who the candidates are, local out, concentric circle approach. So locally in your county, your city, your state, then to national, knowing what the issues are and the key topics, and knowing where said persons, forget party lines for a second, just talk about the individuals. What topics are bubbling to the top for you? Where do those individuals stand on their topics? And if they do, they have track records that show they stand, right, where you think they are in those topics, and so on and so forth. So I just want to use your term and the platform you've established around, right, gathering facts to encourage people. We're going to do it again this year, y'all. Get your facts. So Ryan, with that point of facts, give us a understanding of what you've uncovered in terms of what fatherlessness does in America today. I know.
The absence of fathers. I mean, it's the devastation is so widespread. I mean, I mean, you're talking, okay, let's just talk from a poverty standpoint. How do we battle poverty? One of the biggest contributors to poverty is the absence of fathers. Mm. So when you're talking about two-parent married homes versus single-parent home, which 80% of those single-parent homes today in America are female-led, and this is not to disparage single
moms.
Did
you say 80?
80% of the single parent-led homes are led by females. Yes. Yeah. My wife was a single mom for a while. And so we know some of those dynamics.
Yes.
But the reality is you're talking a poverty level that is five times higher among single parent-led homes versus intact married families. We keep hearing all these social re-engineers talking about how, you know, any family is equal with other families. It's not that a person's worth is less, but all families are not equal. And so when you have those intact married families, they do provide a different environment, a more stable environment. So fatherlessness is devastating on so many levels. Let's talk about high school dropouts. Let's talk about increased violence rates. Let's talk about pregnancy rates. Let's talk about higher abortion rates. I mean, obesity rates, seven times higher in fatherless homes. I mean, so on nearly every metric, there are negative consequences to fatherlessness. Yet we also hear this rhetoric and this propaganda that fathers aren't needed. And that in particular, that Black families aren't as impacted by fatherlessness. That's nonsense. Mm. I mean, that was a study that came out from the CDC years ago. The devastation is real. I mean, I've spent many years working with young children on every level who are impacted by the absence of their father.
Yeah.
And to deny that is really just to deny reality. Well, we do live in a culture right now that denies all kinds of reality. So that it's kind of the norm, unfortunately.
Yeah. That number is close to 7 million homes impacted by fatherlessness. Is that right?
I think it's 20 million.
20 million. Okay.
I think it's 20 million. I think it's one out of four. Children, yes, are impacted by that. And then there are other rates, and you're talking about like unmarried birth rates, the number of children born outside of marriage. And it's devastating. Back in the 60s, it was 25% when a congressman, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, sounded the alarm that in the Black community, it was 25%. Well, you fast forward now and it's over 70%. Mm-hmm. And it's increased in every people group, and we can't ignore it. I mean, it's devastating on so many levels. How do we raise strong children? How do we raise strong communities? Well, you cannot do it when we have the deterioration. That doesn't mean that, you know, like single parents, I mean, a lot of them do all they can to raise their children, love their children. But, you know, mothers weren't meant to be both mothers and fathers.
Right, right.
And so it's not trying, you're not trying to demean those who do all they can, but that is not the ideal. And we've got an emergency here. I mean, this is an epidemic of fatherlessness that has spread across our nation. And I've seen the toll it's taken on so many of the kids that I work with my peers. And we're a nation that cannot ignore this particular epidemic. We talk about existential threats. This is the existential threat.
Yeah. And with some of those data points, I mean, the numbers are staggering. One out of four children impacted by it. The exponential or at least multiplier rate of poverty. And to your point, the degradation of health, so on and so forth. Has the data shown that this is correlated or there's causation?
Fatherlessness and poverty?
Yes. And some of these
causation.
Causation, purely.
Absolutely causation. Yeah. I mean, the socioeconomic impact of a father being out of the home. I mean, if you look at just the salaries, for instance, if you have a single male at home, he makes about $51,000 a year. I'm sorry, that's a single female at home. A single male-led home is $71,000 mm-hmm. versus a two-parent married household, $107,000. So just from those numbers alone, you're talking, there's obviously going to be a socioeconomic impact.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of causation on a number of these factors. I mean, just an involved father, even a father who reads more to his children, they're going to have better educational outcomes just from the mere fact that he's reading to them. And so that's why we have to be attuned to what is going on and this massive absence that is causing these negative ramifications.
Yeah, no, that's good. Well, you know, sometimes we talk about problems, we say, you know, something went wrong. And so that's a quote unquote, a bug in the program, right? the PC has a bug. And then sometimes you go, well, that's not a bug. That's a feature. Okay. That's a part of a system we have commissioned, right? Acts of omission or commission. When you think about this one and kind of turning our attention to how we put people in a position to remedy the situation and walk alongside you on that road, just help us understand from a point of priorities per se, right? What things must we fix to begin turning this around?
We have to fix the way that we talk about what is truly empowering. I mean, we live in a culture right now that thinks of being empowered, but oftentimes are being fooled by those in power. Mm. And part of the being fooled is the nonsense that somehow we need to dismantle. For instance, I'm just going to say it, Black Lives Matter, talking about dismantling the Western Hemisphere's concept of the nuclear family. No, we don't need to dismantle. Mm. It's being dismantled. It has been for decades and decades, and it's had destructive impact. And so part of it is just rejecting this nonsense that somehow, one, women and men are simply interchangeable. They're not. They offer something valuable and irreplaceable, each one of them. As someone who was rescued from the violence of abortion, I was conceived in rape. Yet I was adopted in love. And so when I talk about the need for fathers to be in this place, this comes from such a deep place, and to see the impact on children. I'm a huge adoption advocate. When I see the dysfunction and the deterioration of families, and what does that child who's in foster care need? They need rescue. They need that stability that a married mom and dad can provide. And that's not to say that single parents cannot adopt. I have friends who are single parents who adopt, and I applaud them too. But we have a situation where we're pretending that fathers don't matter.
Yeah.
And dads matter. I don't care how they try to restate it. I don't care the euphemism they throw out there. Mm-hmm. Dads always matter. And when we realize this and work toward this, for instance, women who are facing unplanned pregnancies, why in the world are we encouraging young men to abandon their responsibility? The moment you become a father is the moment you should be stepping into that responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet we've created this culture of abandonment, which has allowed, 64 million abortions since Roe v. Wade. That is not a way to strengthen a community. Yeah. The way to strengthen a community is say, hey, young men, rise up to be fathers. The sad thing is a lot of them don't have that role model. But yet there are those of us who can spend the time being that mentor. That's why I encourage fathers, hey, take some time, help be a father and teach a young man how to be that father. For his child. I have four kiddos. I have two girls, two boys, and I try everything I can to pour my life into them. I want them to know that I'm giving everything that I have for them so that they can understand what it means for a father to sacrifice, for a father to be present, for a father to be involved.
Absolutely. And so one of the things I think I hear you saying, and correct me if my paraphrasing is incorrect, I hear you saying one of the points of remedy is reaffirming the importance of the father in the family, as opposed to a bunch of, optionality all over the place, as if, it's okay. You don't have to have that. You got all these other options and things you can pursue and ways to make a family, family continue to function with or without, right? And I think what I hear you saying is, no, reaffirm factually the importance of fatherhood in the family.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the way God designed it.
Yeah.
I mean, it is an intentional design. It's the framework that we thrive best in.
Yeah.
And so that's the model that I'm trying to promote, trying to encourage.
That's good. That's good. How can people walk alongside you, support this work? If they say, yep, I'm with him, I've been waiting to get involved or something like this, or I'm enlightened by this conversation, right, what's the best way for people to tap into and add some momentum to this, if you will?
Well, one of the ways is we have these workshops with teens, and we do these multimedia presentations where we talk about what it means to be a man. In fact, we have Guys by Design or Men by Design. That's one of the presentations. We also have another one that's called Self-Control versus Remote Control. And that's really a character building workshop. And part of it is, supporting the work that we do through the Radiance Foundation so that we can impart. I mean, these are some basic truths. We say basic, but for some people, regardless of hue of skin, they're not so basic.
That's right.
Because they just didn't have that in the home. And so this is part of what we do through the Radiance Foundation. And just when we illuminate that every human life is God-given purpose, well, that purpose is intentionality. That is a design by God that's irrefutable. And when we veer from it, we see the consequences of it. So, supporting our work that way, sharing some of our work. Go to radiance.life. It's the easiest way to get to us. Sharing some of that content. But we're really passionate about fatherhood because for me,
everything, it's so inextricably tied to our human existence. I mean, God created male and female, and you leave out 50% of it, there's a problem. And so as a father, I'm passionate. As someone who's worked with thousands of teenagers actually preteens, my heart is driven toward the fatherless.
I think it's such a good area of focus. And a lot of times, I believe when we talk about people and what they're going through, you talk about the state of mental health, youth depression. Right. I recently was talking about youth suicide statistics, and they just blew me away. Right, the percentage of high school students who had considered suicide, the percentage that planned it, and the percentage that actually tried it. Right, and so I remember analysts who used to work for me used to always say, "Ask why 5 times, and you usually get closer to the truth." Right, and so you keep asking why and unpacking, and some of it comes down to these foundational things. Many of us had grown used to accepting that the father not being there was just the way it is. We'd sit in the barbershop, talk about it, be at the boys club shooting hoops. Oh, what? You got a father in the house. That was like abnormal to a certain degree, depending on where you grew up. And I love this conversation because we should not accept it, to your point. We should get grounded in the facts and the outcomes and such that happen because of it, to your point, causation. And then that, guess what? There is a way to swing at this, right? There is a way to swing at this. And what you said is so profound yet so simple. Reaffirm the importance of it. Start there.
Right.
I love that.
Right. Yeah, it's true. And when we talk about mental health, I mean, faith and mental health, people don't want to talk about the fact that those who actually have this abiding faith, this foundational faith, they have far better mental health outcomes, positive mental health outcomes. And part of creating that spiritual life is also the role of the father.
Yes.
And we tend to forget that. And I'll tell you, my barber is an ex-felon, didn't have a father in the house. And the beautiful thing about life is that you don't have to repeat a cycle.
Yes.
You don't have to repeat the mistakes of your parents. You can break free from that.
Yes.
And I see that all the time. And it's an amazing thing when you see that. And people really close to me, I won't mention their names, but they had, a father who was largely absent. And they are this particular individual is one of the most involved fathers I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to live with that curse of abandonment.
That's right.
And that's the beautiful thing about life. We can break free from
that. That's right. That's right. Hey, family, you've heard it here from Ryan Bomberger, again, founder, chief creative officer at the Radiance Foundation. Please, please, please visit him at www.radiant.life to find out more about him, his books, etc. Visit their social media pages. And if you believe that fatherlessness counts and matters, show up, folks. Appreciate it. Ryan, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much.